Well, it says in Micah chapter 5, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Micah prophesied and said this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old and from everlasting." This is a mention of the Lord Jesus coming to us. And we're so excited tonight to be able to talk about Bethlehem because it is a great place for us to remember and to reflect on. And so when you think of Bethlehem, most of us have this song memorized, and I think you can sing this with me. O little town of Bethlehem, do you remember the first verse? I think many of you do. So if you know it, this is your opportunity to sing a duet or maybe a choir with me. It goes like this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Nice job. Bethlehem. And I ask myself and I ask you tonight, why did God prophesy through the prophet Micah about Bethlehem? Because in many ways it was a very insignificant place. It wasn't very large. It was in Judea. It was in Judah, excuse me, the tribe from the tribe of Judah. And so we have some reasons here why I believe God selected this town. One of them is because King David was born there. And he was the king. And we know that when it was prophesied about Jesus coming, that he was going to follow in the lineage of David. So that's one reason. We read in John 7:42, the scriptures say that the Messiah will come from David's lineage and from Bethlehem. That's what it was prophesied about. And a second reason is that God often chooses something small, quiet, insignificant, because he wants to do something very big. And so that little town of Bethlehem, a village probably of maybe 300 or less, is where our Savior was brought forth to this earth. And then we think of us, and we think of the Jewish people. Do you realize that the Jewish people are one of the smallest minority groups in the world? Are you aware of that? And yet there's so much attention given to them. And they've had such a tremendous influence on the world. God has blessed those people. God has chosen those people. Why did God choose them? Was it because they were such a great people? Was it because that they looked so differently than most of the other people? No, it was God's providence, and God chose them. In fact, it says in the Word of God that he chose them because they were indeed small in many ways. We read in Deuteronomy 7:7, God wasn't attracted to you, to the Jewish people, and didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. Isn't that amazing? How God always takes something very small, something insignificant, and makes something about it. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 these words about us who come to follow Jesus. Take a good look, friends. Now, I'm reading from what we call the Message, which is a paraphrase. But as I was reading through it, I found these words so important for us to understand because it's in our contemporary language. Take a good look, friends, at who you were before you got called into this life, the life of being a follower of Jesus. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Well, I think there are some of the brightest and the best. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? Chose those nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that today?
that we actually are somebody because we belong to Christ. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus has come and God has chosen us through His Son to be part of His family, to know Him, and to be called His children. We realize again that it's so easy sometimes to blow our own trumpet, but we can only come tonight and boast in Christ, in Him alone, because He is the author of our salvation. He is the one who came down to us because He knew we could not go up to Him. The scriptures are very clear when we read in the book of Philippians. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name of those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a Savior we have. He emptied Himself. He came down to us. He humbled Himself so that He would provide salvation for us. Truly, we have a beautiful Savior tonight. And I'm so thankful that I have the privilege to stand up here and declare to you once again the gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because Christmas is all about the gospel. And I know that some of you have come here tonight and maybe you're confused about the gospel. We're not saved by works. Understand that. We can do absolutely nothing. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's according to His mercy. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out abundantly in Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you hear that? It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works that we do. It's by the work of Christ and by His work alone. Truly tonight we have a Savior who wants you to know how much He loves you, how much He cares for you, and how much He wants you to enter into this relationship with Him. Do you know the definition of religion? Because a lot of people are religious in the world. Religion is all about doing. It's all about what you can do to atone for your sins. Do you know what a relationship with Jesus Christ is? It's all about what He's done for us. It's finished. The work that He did on the cross is done. He suffered once for all, the just for the unjust. Aren't you thankful this morning, as this evening, that God has given us a Savior? You can tell I get confused, morning or evening, because usually it's in the morning that I'm preaching. But this evening, we can all worship our Savior and thank Him. This thing about worship, and wait, I want to thank you for playing that song. Because I think so often we get distracted and we don't enter into worship. And I want to be like those wise men in Matthew chapter 2 that journeyed so far. They came from the east and they journeyed because they saw a star. And they knew that something important was going on with that star because they were astrologers. They had studied. They were called wise men, magi. And as they began to get closer, they got to Jerusalem. And do you remember as the story went, they asked Herod? They said they wanted to discern where this child was supposed to be born, where this king was going to be born. And Herod the Great was a very wicked man. In fact, he wanted to get some news from these individuals because he wanted to follow them and discover where this child was because he wanted to kill this child. Because Herod the Great was a very paranoid individual. In fact, Herod the Great had killed most of his family. So many of his family members off because he thought they might threaten him. And he couldn't trust them. And these wise men finally found Jesus. And you know what they did the first time they came into the presence of the Christ child? And they think, as you study that particular context, you realize that Jesus was probably a young child. He wasn't in a manger anymore because he was could have been 1 or 2 years old, according to the account. The first thing they did when they saw the child is they fell down and worshiped the child. They knew that Jesus was the king and Jesus was the Savior. Now, it's one thing to know that information up here. It's another thing to know it in your heart. And that's where we talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've come here tonight and you're practicing your religion and you don't understand that it's not what you do, but it's what Jesus has done for you, then I want to share that good news with you. What must you do to be saved? The scriptures are very clear. You must realize that you can't do anything. You're a sinner. You must realize that Christ has done it all for you on the cross, that when he died for you. He took your sin in his own body on the tree, that having died to sin, we might live for righteousness. We understand that we receive this by a gift that God gives to us. And most of us this time of the year, this time of the season, we understand what a gift is because we exchange gifts. God has given you the greatest gift ever. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. And he wants you to receive that gift. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The Bible is clear that all you have to do is receive the gift. Personally ask Jesus to save you, and he will do that. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We come tonight to worship our Savior. We come to bow before him. We come to thank him and to praise him for coming to us. You talk about our God coming down to us. Truly, it's an amazing story that he would humble himself, allow himself to be born as a baby, grow up as a young boy, become a man, and then eventually go to the cross. I am so thankful tonight for Jesus. I'm so thankful that we can worship him together tonight. And I trust as you leave this place and as you go to your home and you're gathering with your family members that you'll continue to worship the Christ child and to thank him and give him all the glory. Don't blow your own trumpet tonight. Blow the trumpet of God and let him know how much he matters to you. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to stand right now.